And we're holding on Chaf Zayin Amr Aleph, the Mishnah. Mishnah says, Afa simla hoisa b'chlal kol elu. A garment was also in the category of all of these. Meaning, when the Torah tells us about the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda, it goes like this. First it says, loish sira es shor achika oyaseya nidochem, you're not allowed to see your fellow yid's ox or sheep straying, lost, the salam to mehem, and hide from it and pretend like you didn't see it. You have to return it. Then the pasuk continues a couple of psukim later. V'chein tas al chamora, the same thing you should do for his donkey. V'chein tas al simlosai, and so you should do for his clothing, and the same thing for anything else that he loses. So clothing was already included in anything that he loses. V'loma yotzas, why is it mentioned separately? Now we're going to deal with in the Gemara why the various animals are mentioned separately as well. Why does it say the ox and the sheep and the donkey? But then here the Mishnah is focusing on why does it mention the garment? So lahakish elaha, it's brought in order to make a hekish with it, loy maloch, and it tells you like this, ma simla miyuchedes, what's special about a garment, sheyeshla simonin v'yeshla tovin. It has simonim, a garment, every person makes their garments a little bit differently, and it has simonim, v'yeshla tovin, and there's somebody demanding it. Meaning, in other words, as opposed to when we know that the person was miyash. So af kol davar sheyesh be simanin v'yesh le'tovin chayv mahachlis, the same way we learn from that that anything that has simanim and that has somebody that's demanding it, meaning that he hasn't been miyayish on it, chayv mahachlis, then he would have to go and announce it. So again, Rashi learns the way we just said that yesh le'tovin means, in other words, that he wasn't miyayish on it. Tosfos explains somewhat differently that it means that the reason the owner is not miyash is because of the simonim. Meaning, in other words, now we're going to deal with in the Gemara, we're going to have a sugya in the Gemara beginning at the bottom of the Amud, whether simonim or whether returning a lost object based on simonim is d'oraisa or d'rabbanan. We touched on this at the end of the previous parak. Here we're going to deal with it in more detail. So if we say that simonim or daraisa, then it means, in other words, the person doesn't have yush because he has simonim, and therefore he knows he can get it back on that basis. Even if we say, as we're going to discuss in this sugya, that simonim are only drabanon, and that midaraisa you would really need edim, nevertheless, the simonim help to get you edim in the sense that now, based on the simonim, that enables you to go and find edim, who will be able to say that they recognize that this garment actually belongs to you on the basis of the simonim that they've seen before. So either way, the fact that there are simonim means that there's not going to be yush. So it's not just like, so in other words, Tosfos is saying, it's not just like Rashi says, the fact that the person is not miyayish, it's more the simonim themselves bring about that yesh lo tovim, and therefore you would have to return it. Then there's also the Ravid. So the Ravid learns it yet a little differently. He says the vote is that people are not usually miyayish on personal items like clothing, and therefore we can learn from clothing that anytime he wasn't miyayish, then you have to return it. Okay. So the Gemara says, "My bechlau kol elu." What do we mean in the category of all of these? In the category of what? So Rav says it means in the category of anything that you felt that your brother, that your fellow Jew loses. Where again, plus it could have just said v'chein tasa l'chol avedas achicha without mentioning specifically the garment, and it mentions it specifically, and that means we learn from it this din that we said in the mission. And the Gemara continues, Amar Rava Lomali Dekosav Rachmana Shur Chamor Sev Simma. Why indeed does the Torah have to list all four of those things? So Tzrichi, the reason is we need all four of them. It wouldn't have been enough just for the Torah to say that if you see anything that your fellow Yid loses, you have to return. It had to mention these four. Dekosav Rachmana Simla, if the Torah had only written a Simla, a garment, Hava Amina, then you would have think, you know when you have to return it? when you have edim or simonim, depending again whether simonim are daraisa or drabonin, if you say they're only drabonin then daraisa, you'd need edim. Whatever the case, you would think that that would only work only if you have edim on the thing itself or simonim on the thing itself. If we say that simonim are daraisa, meaning exactly that. With a garment, there's nothing else that goes along with it that you have simonim or edim on. It's the garment itself that you have. That you have a simon on, that it's woven in this particular pattern, or it has a rip, or it has a rip or a stain dafka over here, or whatever. Avo chamur the edim de ukaf for simonim de ukaf. But what about, for example, if you lost a donkey and the donkey has a saddle on it? Suppose that you don't have edim who can testify about the donkey itself, or you don't have simonim about the donkey itself, but instead what you have is simonim or edim about the saddle. And as the Gemara is going to point out on Amud Beis, a particular saddle always goes with a particular donkey. People don't lend out saddles because they're made to measure for the exact, for especially for this particular donkey. So you would think emaloi, without the pasuk mentioning the word donkey, emaloi mahadrinim lei, you would think maybe you don't have to return it with simonim on the saddle. Maybe only if it's like a simla where the simonim or the edim are on the thing itself. Therefore, kasa rachman hachamur, therefore the Torah writes a donkey, da'afilu chamur b'simoni ha'ukaf, to tell us that yes, given that you're returning something based on a simon, even if the simon is only on the saddle, but we know that the saddle goes together with this particular donkey, then that would be reason enough to return the donkey as well. It wouldn't be. Now we learned a few dafim ago, we had, for example, the case of finding paris inside a keli, and we discussed over there if they're inside the keli or partly spilled out or whatever. And there, the point is that the paris don't always go necessarily with a particular keli, but here, the saddle always goes with a particular donkey, and therefore automatically simonim or edim on the saddle automatically go on the donkey as well. So we know that because the Torah writes the word chamur, and therefore we learn that concept. Then Shurva said to Kosev Rahman al-Lamali, then what about the other two animals? Why does the Torah mention the ox and the sheep? So that teaches us Shur da'afilu l'gizas z'novoi. In the case of the ox, it teaches us even the shearings from its tail. So an ox has a long hairy tail. In fact, when they make tefillin, each parasha in tefillin is wrapped in a hank of animal hair. They usually take the hair from the tail of a cow because they're long and they're suitable for this purpose. So the Gemara mentions in Shabbos that Hashem created it davka that way because cows are often in places where there's lots of mosquitoes and bugs and other things like that, and it's able to use its tail, it's able to use its long tail to swish them away from itself. Anyway, the point is, if the shearings from the tail, the hair that you cut off from the tail, is not necessarily worth a pruta. And by itself, maybe you wouldn't have to return it, as the Gemara is going to discuss soon, that you don't have to return something that's less than a pruta. But here, because it goes together with the animal, then therefore you would have to return that. You would have to return that as well. So according to Rashi, that's the chiddush. In other words, that you have to return that. And the point is, even it's worth less than a pruta. Tosfos points out the chiddush is slightly different. The chiddush is that actually, when you have the animal in your care, you are obligated every so often to go and shear the tail in order to make it grow. In other words, you're chayev not only to feed the animal and keep it from dying or whatever, you're also chayev to do things to promote the growth of the animal, in this case to promote the growth of its hair by shearing the tail every so often, like the way you would do if you were the owner of the animal. So even though now you're shearing it and what you're shearing off is worth less than a pruta, nevertheless, you're obligated to do that. We learn that from the shur. V'sel gizoysav, and in the case of a sheep, similarly, it teaches us as far as the shearings. So again, it doesn't mean that it wouldn't mean that you have to return the shearings. The shearings are definitely worth less, or definitely worth more than a pruta. It would mean, again, that you'd be obligated every so often to shear the sheep if it stays by you for a considerable amount of time, the same way as you would if it was your own sheep. Well, The Gemara asks, the Lichter Rachmana showed that Philo Gizas Novev Choshkin Sala Gizosav. Well, in that case, why does the Torah have to write both of them? It could have just said the sheep. And we understand from that that you that, or the other way around, it should have said the ox, or you, and then it'll tell us that yes, you have to return the shewings from the tail, the hair from the tail, the choshken selagizosev, and we would understand all the more so when it comes to a sheep, where the fleece from the sheep is definitely worth more than a pruta. And if you have to return the shewings from the tail because they're agav the animal, and therefore the animal itself is worth more than a pruta, and therefore you have to return the shewings as well, then all the more so we would realize by a sheep where each one of them individually is worth a pruta. And if we're saying like Tosfos that the point is by a shur that you need to trim the tail every so often, then we'd understand all the more so that you need to trim the sheep every so often. So why mention it? Ela Amar Rava. So rather, Rava says, you're right. It is hard to understand why it mentions the sheep b'chlal. So, Chamor de Berl of Yehuda. The fact that according to Rabbi Yehuda, that we learned this in Bava Kamma, the fact that it mentions a donkey in connection with a burr, now we had in Bava Kamma, we learned when it says about the nezek of burr, where you dig a pit in Rosh Hasharabim and an animal falls into it. So the pasuk says, v'nafal shama shur or chamur. So according to the Chachamim, we learn that from the word shur, we exclude if a person falls in there and gets killed, that the owner of the burr is potter. And from the word chamur, we learn that if kalim fall into the burr, then break, then you potter, as we learned that all extensively in Bava Kamma. According to Rabbi Yehuda, though, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees and says that kalim, you are chayav for in a burr. So according to him, why does it say chamur in connection with a burr? Is we taka don't understand. The seh da aveda, and as far as in our case over here, when it says the word seh, when it says the word the sheep, in connection with an aveda, in connection with hashavas aveda, l'divrei hakol, according to everybody, Kasha, then Rava says, Taka Kasha, why it says those, because on the face of it, we're not learning anything from those. So yeah, it's true that we don't understand. The Torah could have written Shur, and could have written Shur, Chamur, and similar, and we know everything that we need to. As far as Hashavas Aveda, what are we learning from Seh? Rava says, we Taka don't know what we're learning from it. With that said, the Or Sameach brings an idea in his Pirush on this Pasuk, and Or Sameach, he says, maybe what it is, after all, we learned in Bava Kamma, you're not allowed to raise sheep and goats in Eretz Yisrael. So you would think then, if you find a sheep, maybe you shouldn't return it. After all, whoever is keeping it is doing an Aveda by raising it in Eretz Yisrael. Nevertheless, the Torah is telling you that you have to return it. The reason why the Gemara doesn't use that answer might be, he doesn't say, but it might be, because after all, that whole concept is only a Takana de Rabbanan, so therefore, how can the Torah be hinting to it? At most, you would have to say it's an Asmachta or something. So to have an actual limud from it, Rava is pointing out you don't actually have. On a deeper level, by the way, as far as the Seh Da'aveda or Divrei Hakol Kasha, Marsha comments at the end of Masechta Makos in connection over there with a Gemara over there that mentions how we Jewish people are like an Aveda HaMispakeshes, we're like a lost object that the owner is constantly looking for while we're in Golos. So he says the Pasuk is also hinting at that we are like the Seh Da'aveda, like the lost sheep. And Kasha, it's a question why we're still in Golos, why Hashem hasn't already found us and taken us out of Golos. And in the Kurta Sichas, Chelek Aleph, the Rebbe similarly says, we're based on something from the Friedrich Rebbe, that what it represents is the sheep represents a yid who follows the crowd, like a sheep, as a herd animal, it'll follow what everybody else is doing. So the Seh represents a person who doesn't have the Yiddish shtolz, he doesn't have the Jewish pride to go against the tide, like the way a person is supposed to go against the tide of the wider Goyish world, and instead he's just a follower. So for him, Kasha, it's hard to figure out how you're going to schlep such a yid out of that, and how you're going to get him back on the path of Torah and mitzvahs when he doesn't have that basic concept where that says at the beginning of Shulchan Aruch of Al Yevish Mitnam Aligim, not to be afraid of and not to be embarrassed of those who would mock him for being different, for being a yid. So it's going to be it's going to happen anyway. Lo yidach menu nidach, but it's kasha. Rava is pointing out it's a lot harder than various other things. For example, the shur, which is destructive, or the chamur, which is cold and indifferent, which is cold, and the Gemara tells us that a donkey always feels cold, representing the person who's cold and indifferent to Yiddishkeit, in a way it's a lot easier to get through to them than it is to the seb, but nevertheless we have to work on that. Okay. Anyway, the point is getting back to the Gemara. So yeah, so we taka don't understand, at least on the level of darshan and psukim to derive halachas, what the word seh is doing in the pasuk over there, because we're not learning anything from it that we wouldn't have otherwise known from shur. The Gemara asks for emel glolim huda asa. Okay, so maybe say that from seh we're learning about the droppings of the animal, that if you find an animal and it produces droppings over time, that you have to return those to the owner as well. And the answer is no, glolim afkurim mafkulu. No, because those droppings, the owner is going to be mafkir them, whoever found the animal and took care of it for a while, then the owner is going to be mafkir, not really mafkir per se, but he's going to be moichel, those droppings to the owner. So therefore, no, you don't have to return them. It's ein lo toivin. As we said in the Mishnah, you have to have toivin, you have to have somebody who demands it back, and here he's not going to bother, he's going to realize that, He's going to realize that, you know what, you did me a favor and took care of my animal. It's true. Okay, you're required to drop your Torah, but still, to that extent, he's going to be moichel. He's going to be moichel on that. So the Gemara asks for Dumal Simonin Hudasa. Maybe we could say another thing. Maybe from the word seh, we learn the whole concept of Simonin. Maybe we would have from Shur, we learn about the shearings of the tail. From Chamur, we learn about the saddle. From Simla, we said that there's Tovim. Maybe from seh, we're learning the concept of Simonin, that we have to return a lost object when the person gives Simonin. Giboyalon, as in fact, we have the question that we're going to start dealing with at the bottom of the Yomud. Simonin d'oraisa or d'rabbanon. Is it d'oraisa or d'rabbanon, or only d'rabbanon, that you have to return something when a person gives a simon? So maybe we'd say kosev rachmona seh da'afilu b'simonin mahadunin b'simonin d'oraisa. Maybe we would say we can answer that question because it says seh, then that shows that simonim are d'oraisa, and we learn it from that, and that would answer the question. The answer is amri, but the bnei ha'yeshiva said no. Midikatoni lahutana l'simonin. No, because the Tana of our Mishnah mentions Simonim in connection with the garment. Dikatoni, because the Mishnah had said, Mas Simlam Yuchedis, Shiyashla Simonim Yashla Tovin Chai Vahakis. The Mishnah had said that a Simla is special in that it has Simonim and it has Tovin, that the owner hasn't been Miyash from it, Chai Vahakis, therefore you have to announce. And the Mishnah had said that we learn a Binyan Av from that. The same applies then to anything else that has simonim and has tovim. Shmaminon the seh lava simonim hutaasa. That goes to show, therefore, that a seh is not there in order to teach us about simonim, because we see from the Mishnah that simonim are learnt from the matter of simla. So either if we say simonim or daraisa, then it's a true drosha, and we learn from that that you return something with simonim on a daraisa level. If we see, as we're going to discuss in the next suya, that if we end up saying that simonim is only dirabanan, then it would mean the pasuk is only an asmachta for that, and midaraisa you require edim. But in any case, we can't learn that from seh, because however that is, we're learning that from simla. So it's still, like Rava said, a question why it mentions seh in the pasuk and what we're learning from it. Okay. Next. Tanan Rabbanan, we learn in a braisa. Asha Toivad, the pasuk says that you have to return anything that he loses. So that comes to exclude a case where the thing is worth less than a pruta. Rashi explains, if it's less than a pruta, it can't be called an aveda, so you can't say asher toivad. The Ritva explains a little bit differently, since the expression in the pasuk is asher toivad mimenu, from him, then that implies, in other words, that it's actually lost to him, and if it's less than a pruta, it can't really be considered a loss to him. Anyway, that's the Tanakama. Rabbi Yehuda imot mutsasa. Rabbi Yehuda agrees that if it's less than a shava prota, you don't have to return it, you don't have to announce it. But he learns that from the word umutsasa, that you find it. That you find it, in other words, implies that you find something, that it's something that's called a metziah. Prat la'aveda, shein b'shava prota, as opposed to when it's not worth a shava prota. There was a machlokas among achronim. Does that mean you would actually be able to keep it outright, or does it just mean that you don't have the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda, but you really can't keep it for yourself? So we have the Tanakhama versus Rabbi Yehuda that learn it from Asher Toivad or Mitzasa. So they want to ask my Benai, what is the practical difference between these two opinions? Amar Abai, Mashmos Doshin Ik Benai. So Abai says there's no actual practical difference between them. They're just arguing how you learn it from the pasuk. Mar Nafgalei Me'asher Toivad or Mar Nafgalei Umatzasa. It's just that one is learning from one phrase in the pasuk and the other from another phrase. But according to Abai, there's no actual nafgamina between them. As opposed to in a few lines, we're going to learn that Rava learns differently and finds an actual nafgamina between them. So the Gemara asks, okay, fine. Even if you say they're arguing about how we darshan it from the psukim and there's no nafkamina, nevertheless, we should still see why each one of them darshans the way he does. So ulamanda nafka lemasher toivad hayom mitzasa amai ovidle. According to the Tanakhama, if we're learning from Asher Toivad, then what is he doing with the word mitzasa, which Rabbi Yehuda had said means that he finds it implying that it was something that's considered a fine, namely a shava prota. So my Ovidlei, what does he do with that? And the answer is Ahumi Baile L'chid Rabbi Noi. He uses that to teach us what Rabbi Noi had said. Or Ravina, actually, Goris Abach changes it too. Da'amar Rabbi Noi, umat sasa da'asoy li'yodei machi. We learned in Baba Kama, we had a sugi over there about if you find a lost object belonging to a goy, where you don't have a mitzvah of Hashava Saveda, except insofar, as we said over there, in order to cause a Kiddush Hashem, or prevent a Chilul Hashem, but we discussed in the Gemara over there, maybe we should say that if you haven't picked up the Aveda yet, then yes, when it's a Goy's Aveda, you're not obligated to do anything with it. But maybe once you picked it up, then you're obligated to return it, whether it's a Yid or a Goy. Maybe you have the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda there. So Rabbi Noi, your Ravina, had pointed out that no, the word Umatzasa, and you found it, implies that you actually picked it up. So still the Pasuk is saying that you only have to return it to Achicha, your brother, your fellow Yid. So we see that even once you picked it up, if it's a Goy's Aveda, and it's not going to be a matter of a Kiddush Hashem or a Chilul Hashem, then you're allowed to keep. And in fact, elsewhere, the Gemara says you should keep it, you shouldn't return it, because then you're putting a Yid and a Goy on the same level. Whatever the case, the point is, we learn it from that word umatzasa, that implies that you actually already picked it up, and still the Torah is distinguishing in that regard between a Jew and a goy. So we see that, so the Tanakhama would say we learn that from the word umatzasa. So therefore, you can't use the word umatzasa to teach us about a shogar prota, and therefore he says you have to learn it from Asher Toivad. Okay. Ulamanda nafgalei umi umatzasa hai after tovid by ovidlei. What about according to Rabbi Yehuda, who learns the shava pruta, who learns the minimum shava pruta from the word from the word umatzasa hai after tovid by ovidlei? What is he doing with the words asher tovad? And the answer is mebolel chedir Rabbi Yechon. He would use it for the drasha that Rabbi Yechon says, which we learned at the beginning of the perek. The Amar Rabbi Yechon Meshum Rabbi Shimon ben Yechoi, or earlier in the perek we had in the name of Rabbi Shmuel ben Yehoshua. How do we know that if a lost object was swept away by a river, for example, by the tide or by an overflooding river or whatever, that it's mutter? Because the pasuk says, this is what you should do for any lost object from your brother, that is lost from him, and you find it, implying only where it's lost from him, but it's accessible to anybody else. The typical case, somebody drops something in the street or someplace else, or loses track of it someplace else, where you are easily able to get it. Yatsazu, as opposed to when it was swept away by a river and dumped in the middle of the river, at the bottom of the river or something. Where it's lost from him and is not accessible to anybody else, because nobody else is going to find it unless they go and dredge the river or something. So we learn from the words Asher Toivad Mimenu, that distinction. So Rabbi Yehuda is going to say that we learn that from the words Asher Toivad, and therefore he says you can't learn the Shavu Prota from Asher Toivad, and therefore you need Umut Sasa to teach us that. Okay, so the Gemara says Ve'idach. So what about according to Rabbi Yehuda? He agrees with Rabbi Noi's din that you don't have to return a goy's lost object even if you picked it up. So where is he learning that din from? If he says that you're using that he's using Umut Sasa to teach us the different din about the Shava Prota? And the answer is Nafkalayme Umut Sasa. He learns it from the extra vav of the word Umut Sasa. So therefore, so you can learn both. It could have said Shetovid Mimenu Mitzasa. Instead, it says Umitzasa. So therefore, and Umitzasa implies you already found it. So we can learn both. Umitzasa that you found, Mitzasa that you found it, namely something that's worth being called a Mitzia, that is a Shavuprota. And Umitzasa means, and you already actually picked it up, and still you have the distinction between Aveda Sachicha and somebody else's. The Idach. What about according to the Tanakhama, Had Rabbi Yochanan Menale? Where is he learning Rabbi Yochanan's din from? About where it's swept away by the river or whatever, where it's Einem Atzuya Itzokol Adam. If he's using the word Ashatovan Mimenu to teach us about a Shavuot, the answer is Nafkale Mimenu. He learns it from the word Mimenu. It could have said Ashatovad. It could have said just Ashatovad, and it says Ashatovad Mimenu. So he can learn something extra from that. The Idach, whereas Rabbi Yehuda would answer Mimenu Lai Mashmalay, he doesn't consider that you learn something special from Mimenu. He would say that's just the style of the pasuk, and there's nothing extra to learn from that. Each of them has a way of learning from the pasuk and of using the other word in the pasuk for some other drasha and of using a particular nuance in the pasuk to teach us another din as well. So the bottom line is, according to Rabbi, there's no actual nafka minna between them. Each one agrees with all the relevant dinim. Each one agrees it has to be a shava prota. Each one agrees that the whole concept of a shava saveda applies only to aveda sachicha, even if he picked it up. And both of them agree that if it was shot from nahar, that if it was swept away by a river or whatever, then you're potter from returning. So no actual nafka minna, just how they doubt in the psukim. On the other hand, Rava says there is an actual nafka minna between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chacham. Struta shohuzla ikabenayu. The nafka minna between them would be what happens if at the time when it was lost, it was worth a pruta, but now by the time you found it, it's worth less than a pruta. Lamanda omar me asha tovad. The Tanakama who learns from the word asha tovad ika. Well, then you have. When he lost it, it was an aveda. It was worth a pruta. Whereas if you say you learn from Umut Sasa, you don't have, because by the time you found it, it's worth less than a pruta, and therefore you wouldn't have the mitzvah to return it. The Gemara asks still, the fact is, each one of them knows that it says in the Pasuk, Asher Tovad and Umut Sasa. So Ulamanda Omar Asher Tovad Haba'in and Umut Sasa Valeka. The fact is, even according to the Tanakhama, that you're learning from Asher Tovad, the fact is the Tanakhama knows that it says in the Pasuk Umut Sasa as well. So, and the fact is, Valeka, you don't have that because it's true. At the time, you find that it's not a pruta. So, according to Rava, why would there be a nafka minna? Yes, the Tanakhama is learning the pruta from Asher Tovad, but he agrees that there still has to be an Umut Sasa. He's just learning from Umut Sasa a different din, but he agrees that it also means that it has to be worth pruta at the time you find it. So, how would that nafka minna work? Actually, the Pnei Yeshua points out that the Pnei Yeshua points out, okay, maybe if he's only learning Rabbi Noi's drasha from Mitzasa, maybe how do we know that he's also learning from it a Shavu Prota? And he says the fact is the word Mitzasa in and of itself means that it has to be a Mitzia. Then we said that also Mitzasa means that you actually picked it up, because the word Mitzasa implies that you actually picked it up, that you actually found it, meaning that you picked it up. So, and then we also have what we said before about the extra vav. So yes, even the Tanakhama is going to agree that the word Mitzasa also implies that it has to be worth a pruta. So then, and here you don't have it, because by the time you find it, it's not Ruth Pruta. So the Gemara says, okay, you're right. Ella Pruta Shahukri, the Benayu. So we can say the Nafkamina is the other way around. If at the time it was lost, it was worth less than a Pruta, and by the time you found it, it's worth a Pruta, then you would have the Nafkamina whether you have to return it or not. So you would say, Manda Omer Umutsasa Ika. According to Rabbi Yehuda, you would say you do have a mitzvah of Ashava Saveda because Umutsasa, because when you found that it was already worth a Pruta, or Manda Omer Asha Toimer Leka. Whereas if you say you learn from Asha Toimer, then you would say that you don't have to return it because Asha Toivad only when it's lost, and only when it was lost and it was worth a Pruta, and in this case it actually wasn't worth a Pruta, it wasn't worth a Pruta when you lost it yet. Rabbi Akiva Eger actually points out that on the face of it, if it was less than a Pruta when he lost it, then he would have had Yush right then, because we're saying less than a Pruta is not really considered Mammon, so in that case you wouldn't have a mitzvah anyhow to return it. So, okay, he says that you could talk about, let's say, that it became worth a Pruta before the owner even realized that he had lost it. So, therefore, there wasn't Yush yet, And he goes on to discuss how that would fit, how that would work, according to Rava at the beginning of the Perek, that Yush Shalai Midas is considered Yush retroactively. But anyway, the point is, so we can say that that would be a Nachman. But again, the Gemara asks, Olamanda Omasha Tovad Hobbeinu Matsos of Aleka. The fact is, even according to, or the other way around, Olamanda Omar Umatsasa, Hobbein and Asha Tovad Veleka. The fact is, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, that you're focusing on Umatsasa, the fact is the Pasuk does say Asha Tovad, and you don't have that in this case because at the time it was lost, it wasn't a Pruta. So why should there be a Nafkamina? Even Rabbi Yehuda should have to agree with this din that Rava is saying that in that case you might not have to return it. So the Gemara says, you're right. Ela pruta shahukra v'chuzla v'chazra v'chukra ikabinayu. The naftamina would be if the pruta went up in value, then down and back up. Hagoyis Habach actually takes out the chukra because we don't really need it to go up to begin with. We just need that to begin with, it was worth a pruta. Then at some point during the time that it was lost, it became worth less than a pruta. And now by the time you found that it's worth a pruta, whether because the Pashtos, you would say, because prices themselves are fluctuating. You have something that the person lost, let's say a loaf of bread or something, where prices during the time from when it was lost until it was found are fluctuating, and there came a point when it was worth less than a pruta, and there comes a point when it's worth a pruta again. Manda Omar, Asha Toivad Ika. So according to the Tanakhama, you're learning from Asha Toivad, well then you have, at the time when it was lost, and at the time when it was found, it was worth a Pruta. Therefore, according to the Tanakhama, you'd have a mitzvah of Ashava Saveda. Manda Omar Umatsasa, whereas we can say, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that says that, according to Rabbi Yehuda, who says that you learn the concept that it has to be worth a Pruta from the word Umatsasa, then Rabbi Yehuda would say, Ba'inan de'ispa shir mitzia mishas aveda va'ad shas mitzia. He would say it actually has to be worth to be considered a mitzia, which is defined as a pruta, from when it was lost until when it was found. And here, where it went down in between, Rabbi Yehuda would hold there's no mitzvah of Ashava Saved. So according to Rava, so Rava finds an actual nafkamina. The Ritva points out, why would Rabbi Yehuda say that? Because the vav of mitzasa means to tie together. When do you have a mitzvah? When Asha Toivad and mitzasa were both the same thing, both a pruta. Or not only both, the Tanakhama had said both, but that has to be the entire time, the Vav, which ties together, the losing and the finding, it all has to be on the same level where it was all worth a Pruta. So therefore, according to him, if it went down in the middle, then there was a time it wasn't worth a Pruta, therefore, according to him, you wouldn't have a mitzvah to return it. You wouldn't have an obligation to return it. If he had Yush, then you can keep it anyway. If he didn't have Yush, then there's nothing to talk about. He might realize, for example, he lost a loaf of bread, let's say. He knows what the price of bread is currently, and he knows at some point this loaf of bread is going down in value. He goes to the store the next day to buy a new loaf of bread to replace the one, and he finds, hey, now it's selling for less than a pruta. So yeah, there can be where he realizes it.
Especially although the bread would spoil.
Yeah. Yeah, also true. Okay, the Gemara says he boilahu. Now we have the question, which we touched on before, simonin de oraisa or dirabonin. When we talk about Hashava Saveda, based on simonin, Are we talking about that concept is Daraisa or Darabanan? Now, one thing is, we've shown and point out, the Gemara is, now we touched on before, that there are, at the end of the previous perek, there are three different types of simonim. You have things that are not really considered a simon at all. For example, in the case of our Mishnah, we said a simla has a simon. So let's say, for example, the person were to come forward and say that I lost a red simla. That's not a simon at all. There's many red, there's thousands of red simla, of red garments out there. On the other hand, the other extreme is a simon muvhak, a simon that is unique to this particular thing. And realistically, there's no other like it in the world that has that. An obvious thing would be if he had his name on it or something. But let's say, for example, it could be, you know, it had a stain on it in a particular location, in a particular shape or something. It's hardly likely that another dress has exactly that. Then you have in between kind of simonim, which are not quite so distinctive, but they're not that common either. Those are the ones the Gemara is dealing with over here. So if somebody were to come and say, let's say you found a simla, the zipper on it is broken, let's say, would that be considered a simon? Would that be considered a simon that he has to return on daraisa level, or maybe only dirabana? So the Pnei Yeshua talks about the idea behind what the Gemara is asking, as you could say, that in other words, that such middle simonim are not effective in Torah, because there may be lots of other things like that have a simon, so it's not necessarily the same one, or just because maybe we have to be concerned that the person saw this object in somebody else's hands and now is lying and pretending that it's his. B'chlal, we're showing him deal with the question why that we're going to deal with now, and this whole detail and some we're going to deal with all of this in some detail in the sugya. Then Amban points out further on in the sugya, we're going to talk about the case where we have to be concerned that the person may have lent out the thing, and we say there are certain things a person doesn't lend out. Why don't we say that in general? Why don't we say by all lost objects that he may have lost it and that he may have lent it out and then he may have lent it out and now the and now he and now somebody else or so somebody may have seen him. So he may have not he lent it out now. He may have previously lent it out to somebody, and that somebody else now knows the simonim of it and now gave it back and now is going to falsely claim that it's his. And then Amman talks about because a couple of angles on it. First of all, the one who previously borrowed it isn't necessarily going to know now that it was lost. How would he know now if he borrowed it last week and returned it? How would he know now that it's lost to even go and then try to give some money on it and return it?
Especially when they used to call
out in the time of year. Well, that's calling. Yeah, but when he calls out, then he might realize. But until then, in other words, how is he going to know it was lost? And also, during the short time it was by him, not necessarily did he learn all of its simonim. So in general, we're not going to say that. But anyway. So that's the question. The Gemara says, "My nachmina, what's the practical difference? Either way, you have to return based on simonim." And the answer is, "La duri get isha the simonim." The nachmina would be if you find a get. That the shliach lost, do you return it based on simonim? Now, when it comes to regular lost objects, then fine. Dinim mominus, hefker based in hefker and all that. So the chachamim can say that you should return it even if on a daraisa level you would have been allowed to keep it. But with a get, you can't. With a get, the chachamim don't necessarily have the power to do that because a get has to be valid on a daraisa level. So i'am daraisa, if you say that returning a lost object is something that has to be done on a daraisa level, even with medium type of simonim, mahadrin, and then you would have to return the get based on such simonim, because then you would say the Torah is saying that even such, not necessarily such strong simonim, you would still have to return on a daraisa level. Therefore, yes, you would have to return the get. The amit drabanan, but if you say the whole concept of returning based on such simonim is only drabanan, then you might well say ki over drabanan takanta b'mamona. You know when the chachamim makes such a takana, why by mamon? Because hefker based in hefker. I will be sort of like over drabanan takanta. Maybe the chachamim did not necessarily make such a takana when it comes to dini iser v'heter, and therefore maybe you shouldn't return it. Okay, so the Gemara says let's go through some proofs. Toshma, let's first prove from our Mishnah. We said afa simla b'chlau kol elu, hoise b'chlau kol elu. We said a simla was in the category of kol avedas achicha, that it says in the pasuk. B'loma yotzes, so why was it singled out? Lahakish eleho, was to make a hekish with it. V'loy malach, and tell you ma simla miyachedis, shiyash lo simonim v'yash lo tovim chayev lahakris. So we said a garment has simonim, and it has tovim, it has somebody, and it has somebody who's demanding, who wants it back, as we said, who didn't have yushan it. Afkol chayev and so you have to announce it. So the same thing applies to anything that has simonim and has tovim. So we see from the Mishnah that it mentions simonim, and it's learning it from the pasuk implies that simonim are daraisa. And again, we're not talking about a simon muvhak, because a simon muvhak, you don't need the pasuk to be telling us that. That would be the equivalent of edim, or that would be at least the equivalent of edim. Like we had a few days ago, we had about a Talmud Chacham where you return it to him to be a Sayin. So when he has a Simon Muvhak, that's at least as good as to be a Sayin, and at least as good as Adim. So we're talking about average type Simonim. Like we said, for example, the zipper is broken, let's say. Therefore, and the Mishnah mentions Simonim, implying that even those kinds of Simonim are Daraisa. And the answer is not really. Tana Tovin at Srichalei. The Tana mainly wants to focus on the Tovin and learning that from the Simla. Again, because the Simla being that it's a, for the various reasons that we learned on Amud Aleph, either that we know the owner has not been miyayish on it, because a Simla by definition has an owner. It's a manufactured good after all. So by definition it has an owner, and we can assume he wasn't miyayish yet, especially what the Raven adds, the point that a person is not usually miyayish on his personal effects, like a Simla. Or according to Tosfos, the vort is because he has simonim, therefore he's not miyayish, because he knows that it'll be easier for him to get it back. But mainly we're focusing on Tovin, Simonim Kedinas. But the fact that the Mishnah mentions Simonim is only incidental. The fact is, especially according to Tosfos, and the Ritva points out in more detail, the Simonim lead to the Tovin. So therefore, so the Mishnah is not really saying that there's two things that we're learning from the Simla separately, Simonim and Tovim. We're saying the Simonim is only a means by which there is Tovim. So the Mishnah mentions Simonim, but it doesn't actually necessarily mean that we're actually learning from the Pasuk that Simonim are valid. Maybe Simonim, as Tosfos had pointed out, help the person, maybe Daraisa, you need actual Edim. So we would say, Simonim help him. He goes over to some people and says, do you remember this coat that I was previously wearing that had a broken zipper? So in that case, can you come as Edim and tell the guy that this is in fact my coat, so you should return it to me? So he's not really using the Simonim themselves. He's only using the Simonim as a means by which to get Edim. So not necessarily does that mean Simonim all by themselves would be Daraisa. Okay. The Gemara says, Toshma. Fine, let's prove from the Braisa that we learned on Amud Aleph. Rashi says we based on the Gemara that we said before. Tosfos says that the Gemara here was quoting a Braisa. Anyway, the point is, we learned that why does it say chamur in the pasuk? That we learn that you also return the donkey even if there's only simonim on the saddle. So we see, therefore, and since the pasuk says chamur, then that would mean that this concept of returning based on simonim is daraisa. And the Gemara says, no, ema be'edei uka. No, because you could just as well say that we don't learn from that you return based on simonim of the saddle, but rather on edim of the saddle. So if you have edim, that the saddle belongs to you, then automatically the donkey goes with it. It doesn't necessarily mean that if you don't have edim, only simonim, only average simonim on the saddle, that on daraisa level that should work, maybe not necessarily. Okay, the Gemara says Toshma. Let's bring a proof from a case at the end of Yevamos. Oh, sorry, I skipped one. Toshma. The pasuk says Vahoya imcha adroish achicha oisai. The pasuk says that the lost object should remain with you until your brother seeks it out. Now. What's the point of that? What are you going to think? You give it to him before he asks for it? How are you going to know that? How are you going to know that it's his? Ella, what it means is doshehu. It means you have to investigate him. Adroi shachicha, until you investigate your brother, imramai, imramai, who are in ramai, whether he's a swindler or not, And in other words, if you find out that as we'll learn tomorrow in more detail in the Gemara Basis Hashem, if you find out that he's a swindler, that he's falsely claiming that it's his, based on, for example, having seen the simonim while somebody else is holding on to it or whatever, we said before, generally we're not choshish for that, but if we find that the guy's a ramai, then you don't return it to him. So we see that you have to investigate him. My lab is simonim. The pashtus, that means that we interrogate him by asking him for simonim. And the answer is loy, not necessarily, but edim. Maybe it means that he has to bring edim that it's his. And only then do we have a basis for saying that we should return it to him. Rabbeinu Hananel actually has a different take on the word be'edim. He says that it means that the guy would have to bring aid if he wants to collect it with Tvias Ayin. So Rabbeinu Hananel says, what we mean is if he wants to get it with Tvias Ayin, and we learned before that only a Tamil Chacham can do it, he would have to maybe bring edim that he's a Tamil Chacham. That, as we said, he changes he alters the truth only with three things that we mentioned, the Masech, the Mepoyo, the Rosh Biza. And that would be the kind of edim we're talking about. So not like Rashi says, edim that it's his, but rather edim that he is not a ramai, but rather that he's a Tamil Chacham and that he can collect it based on Tvias Ayin. But maybe not necessarily is the Pasuk implying edim at all. With that said, by the way, so now we're going through the sugi over here. In the end, the Gemara is going to point down on Chav Chesem and Aleph, we'll learn tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, that there is a basis for saying that the Droi Shachicha Oisei does in fact mean interrogating him as far as the Simonim, and there's a vote that's brought in the Zohar HaKadosh, and also the Baal Turim brings it on the Pasuk, that we can learn that actually from the word Oisei. The word Oisei means him, but we can also understand it to mean Oisei, his Ois. Ois being another word for a simon. We had the other day in the Gemara. We had Adshi Yitin Ois. You were asking actually the other day why the Gemara used that unusual expression, Adshi Yitin Ois. But based on this, it can be because the Pasuk itself is hinting at simonim with the word Oisai, his Ois. But here the Gemara hasn't gotten to that point yet. We'll deal with that tomorrow, that's a shame. Anyway, so the point is fine, but the word Adroi Shachicha Oisai doesn't necessarily mean that you're asking him for simonim. It can mean maybe that you're asking for edim that it's his according to Rashi, or edim that he is a Talmud Chacham and is entitled to get it by Tvias Ayin according to Rabbeinu Hanan. Tosfos points out that we're going to learn tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, that Misherabu Haramoyim, once there were many cheaters out there, then the Chacham required everybody to bring edim before they can collect a lost object. But the Mishnah can be talking about. So later on, we can be talking about where we have reason, we know that he's a Ramai, therefore we need edim. Ordinarily, though, we're saying that maybe that wouldn't be required, and simonim would be enough on a Daraisa level, but maybe not. Maybe even on a Daraisa level, you need edim. So no proof one way or the other. Okay, the Gemara says, Toshma, let's bring a proof from a matter of Isser v'Heter, which after all, that's what we're saying. The Naftamina over here is Isser v'Heter, is as far as returning a get. So let's bring we learned a couple of years back in Yevamos, you have all the dinim about when a person has gone missing, and we have to know whether he's dead for his wife to be able to remarry. So the Mishnah says, "Ein me'idin el al parts of ponim and machotim." You can only give edus when you find a body, only if you recognize the actual appearance of his face. Imat, which parts of ponim primarily means the forehead. Im hachotim, together with the nose. So you have to be able to see enough of his face to clearly recognize that it was him. Now, even if you have simonim on his body, for example, a wart, as we're going to talk about soon in the Gemara, or something about, well, we're going to see in a minute, actually, what kind of simonim on his body we're talking about, or simonim on his clothing. So that's not good enough. So you need to be able to recognize the face. Shmamina simonim lav daraisa. Doesn't that show that simonim are not valid on a daraisa level, and we need actual edus that it's him, which we can only have by recognizing his face? So if simonim then are not daraisa in that case, then that would be the case also by a regular aveda, and therefore that would answer the question that on a daraisa level you shouldn't return a lost get. But the Gemara says no, Amri, because the answer, the kind of simonim on his guf or on his clothing that the Mishnah is talking about over there that are no good is simonim that are not really considered a simon at all. In the case of the body, for example, they say he was tall or he was short. There are millions of people out there who are tall or who are short. So that's not really a simon at all. As opposed to if, let's say, if we had a simon that he had a wart or a scar on a certain area of his body, maybe that would be enough to be considered a simon for this purpose. And kalev, in the case of clothing, the reason we can't use it for a simon, even if we have more distinctive simonim on the clothing, we have the concern that he may have lent his clothing to somebody else. If you ever read, anybody here who ever read Marcus Lehmann's story, Out of the Depth, you have a big part of the plot turns on that. You have a husband who's disappeared, and then they find a body a couple of days later, and everybody thinks that it's him, and people are pressuring his wife to remarry, and the Rav over there, and the Reform rabbi is telling her, yeah, go ahead, and the Frum Rav is telling her, no, what if your husband turns up? Akitzer Amaisa, it turns out that, yes, he had, in the plot over there, at one point, he's trying to run away, and people shouldn't be able to trace him, so he trades clothing with some other fellow who eventually falls into the river and drowns, and eventually he comes back, and then, yeah, it's a whole story over there. It's fiction, of course, but Marcus Lehmann was writing it to illustrate this kind of din, so you have to be concerned with clothing that he might have lent it out. Usually a person doesn't lend out his clothing, but nevertheless, it is possible. So the Gemara asks, well, then we said before that you return a donkey even if you only have simonim on the saddle, but why? A person might lend out his saddle to somebody else. Ah, so that's the answer. Amri, the answer is ukaf le shu'uli inshi ukva. The answer is people do not lend out saddles, mishum de misak of leilachamra, because it's going to hurt the animal's back. Every saddle is exactly fitted to a particular donkey. If you put the wrong size saddle on a donkey or one that's not as it is, over time that you use a saddle, if it molds itself to the animal's body, if you use it on a different animal, it's going to scrape against, it's going to rub against the animal's body in places where it shouldn't, and it's going to cause the animal to get injured. So you wouldn't do that to begin with. As opposed to clothing, it's not like that. Therefore, you might well lend out clothing. Okay, so that's one way of understanding. So not necessarily is that Mishnah demonstrating that simonim are not daraisa. In the case of the body, we're talking about things that are not really a simon at all, just that he's tall or short. And in the case of kalim, in the case of clothing, fine, there was the concern that maybe he lent him out. All right, the Gemara says he boisem. Another way you can answer, even with kalev, b'chivri or b'sumpi. Kalev also could be not that we're concerned that they were lent out, but rather again, the simonim on kalev, on his clothing, are not even semi-distinctive simonim. For example, the kalim, for example, the clothing, the simon about the clothing is that they say that the clothing is white or red. Where again, there are millions of pieces of clothing out there that are white or that are red, so therefore that's not even a simon at all. Maybe, in fact, if they were to give a simon, maybe if they were to give a semi-distinctive simon, maybe we wouldn't be concerned about lending out clothing, and it would, in fact, be a valid simon for this purpose, for identifying the body. But the Mishnah may be talking about where you don't have any particular simon at all, just the color of the clothing, and that's like saying that he was tall or short, which is not a simon at all. The Gemara asks, if you're telling me that you're concerned that people may have lent out their things, Elohot Tanya, what about we learn in a brisa, in the connection with a lost get, Motzik Kosher B'kis Oba Aunaki Oba Tabas, if you find the get tied to a kiss, to a money bag, Oba Aunaki, or to a purse, Oba Tabas, or to a ring, and he recognizes that purse or the ring or whatever is his, Osha Motzik Ben Kalev, or he finds it among his other personal effects in his house, afilu lizman meruba, even if he found it a long time later, kosher, then the get is kosher, and we don't have to be concerned. Now we learned at the end of the previous parak, we had the cases where you lose a get and you find it sometime later. We said if you find it la'alter, the Gemara tells us in Gittin, if you find it right away, then it's mutter, because we're not concerned that it may actually be a different get with the same names, etc. But if you found it later on, and we said Mokum Shash Yoris Mitsuyas, in places where other people are passing through, then you have to be concerned that it might be a get with the same name from somebody else, etc. But here we're saying that if you found it tied to your kiss or your tabas or whatever, then we can say it's kosher, and we're not concerned that it's a different one because you recognize the kiss or the tabas. Well, you have the same question. If you're going to tell me that we're considering that a person might lend out his things, nechosh l'she'ah, my kosher, why would the get be kosher? Nechosh l'she'ah. Don't we have the same concern that you might that he might have lent out his kiss or his tabas or whatever? And therefore, how can you return the get on that? How can you return on that basis? And the answer is Amri, because the answer about kiss for Aaron Kibbut Abbas, loy mashali inshi. These kinds of things a person generally does not lend out. Kiss for Aaron Kibbut Shum de Masami. People don't lend out their money bag or their purse because of a simon. They say that when a person lends his money bag to somebody else, it's like he's selling him or giving away his mazel. So therefore, people have this, it's not considered nichush, by the way. Rashi uses the expression menachshi. It's not considered nichush, which is also min ha-Torah, because they're not actually doing something because of it. They're saying this is something I'm not going to lend out on the basis of that. People have the idea that giving away or lending out your money bag amounts to giving away your mazel. So therefore you can be sure that he's not. Therefore, you're going to be actually Tosfos points out a consideration called davar sheyeshbe mishum refuah in mishum darchei hamori. Whenever you have something which is relevant to refuah, then there's no issue of darchei hamori, which includes nichush in it. In other words, you have various kinds of practices that Gemara mentions in Shabbos, a whole bunch of them that people would do back then, which on the face of it, there's no rational basis for them, but nevertheless, they're being done for healing purposes. So then we're not worried about darchei hamori, and you're allowed to do it even if you don't understand how they work. So the same way over here, Tosfos learns this would be mishum refuah as well. So therefore, that would be allowed. So people don't lend out their money bag. Therefore, if he finds the get tied to his money bag, we can be sure that he never lent it out. And therefore, this is the exact same get that he lost. The tabas, and the reason a person wouldn't lend out his ring, the ring usually has a signet on it, like we have in Megillas Esther, about Achashverosh giving Haman and then Mordechai his ring, mishum de Mazayef. Mishum de Mazayef, the other person is going to forge things in his name with his stamp. So therefore, nobody's going to lend out their tabas, and therefore, if you find the get tied to the tabas, we may be sure that it's his tabas, and then he never lent it out, and therefore, the get is the original get that he lost. So even if it's l'zman merubah, even if it's a long time later, then we're okay.
You give it back
to the shliach who lost it. Okay, so the point is, we can't prove from that one way or the other whether simonim are daraisa or derabanan. You could say simonim are. Only you could say that simonim are daraisa, middle simonim, that is. And we would say in the case of finding the body, we're saying that the simonim that the Mishnah says are no good are the first kind of simon, where there's many, many tall and short people and so forth. And with clothing, chayshin and l'sheila, and we can still say chayshin and l'sheila, with the exception of things that people never lend out, like we just said. Okay. Fine. So the Gemara says, so we don't have a proof one way or the other whether simonim are daraisa or derabanan leima katanoi. Should we say that this is actually the subject of a machlokas tanoi? A braisa says ein me'idin ala shuma. You cannot give edus about a body that you found based on a wart. A shuma is a wart or a mole or something like that on his body. Rashi translates it as a wart.
Then so said that when goes away.
So we're going to talk about that in the Gemara. Wait. So right now, the Gemara is assuming that a wart is a middle kind of simon. It's not unique. It's not like this is the only person in the world that has a wart in that particular part of his body. On the other hand, it's uncommon enough that it can be considered a simon. So the Tanakhama says you cannot use that as a simon to identify the body. But Elazaban Mahavaya says you could. My lab bahokamifli. Wouldn't that be the argument between them? The Tanakhama sava simonim derabanan. The Tanakhama would say simonim of that type are only derabanan. And here we're talking about an isur daraisa to be matur and eshes ish, and therefore it wouldn't be good enough according to the Tanakhama. But Allahzaban ma'avayim is almost sava simonim daraisa, and Allahzaban men ma'avay would hold that even such simonim are valid on a daraisa level. So that would be exactly the machlokas that we're talking about. And since the halacha is like the Tanakhama, then that would mean simonim are not daraisa. And that would mean in the case of a lost get, you can't return it with the exception of what we just said when you have it attached to a keli, which is definitively his and was never lent out. But the Gemara says, Amar Rava, not necessarily. Dekula amas simonim daraisa. Everybody might agree that middle type simonim are valid daraisa. V'hocha b'shuma mitzuyah ben gilui kamiflegi. The machlokas would be, is a ben gilui. Now, gil in modern Hebrew means age. But in Gemara terminology, ben gilui means not somebody who was the same age, but somebody who was born under the same mazel. So in other words, they have certain commonalities between them. The Gemara mentions in Nedarim, for example, that such a person is able to take away 1/60th of a person's sickness and bring it on himself, because yeah, since they share the same mazel, means they share the same shodash and neshama, the same root of their neshama, and therefore there's going to be certain commonalities and similarities between them. So the machlokas would be, is such a wart likely to be on Ben Giloy? And in that case, the body that you found might not be his, that one that we're looking for. It might be the body of his Ben Gil. So of somebody else who was born under the same mazel and also happened to pass away. Here we're trying to find Sarah comes to us and says, my husband Avraham disappeared. And then we find a body and we're trying to identify it as Avraham. But who says it's Avraham? Maybe it's somebody else who has the same mazel as Avraham and also happens to have a wart in the same part of his body.
See a body, how you look at mazel.
You don't. That's the point. In other words, that's the question. Can we assume that maybe there's a Ben Giloy out there who has exactly the same wart, and when we find a body, we don't know whether it might be him or somebody else. So Mar Sava Shuma Mitzuya Ben Giloy, the Tanakama holds that yes, there may be a Ben Gil out there who has the same wart in exactly the same position and size and whatever, and therefore it's not a simon. Or Mar Sava Shuma Inim Mitzuya Ben Giloy, whereas Allah Ben Mahavai would hold that not.
So it has to do not to do with the dirt, it has to do with the whoever has the same mazel will have a wart in the same place.
Then. We don't know necessarily, but that's the question. Is that in fact the case? So in other words, like this, we're saying, I can recognize, I know this person had a wart in a certain place on his body, a certain shape, a certain size, whatever. Are there likely to be other people out there who are his Ben Giloy, who were born under the same mazel, who have exactly the same thing, and therefore the body that you found might be one of them? Tanakama holds yes, so Allah Zaman Mahavai holds no. Another possibility is they may both agree that a shuma is not commonly found in exactly the same position and size by somebody else. The machlokas would be, are the simonim likely to change after the person dies? So Rashi explains, let's say you might have a wart or a mole that was black while he was alive, and now maybe after he dies, it turns to a different color. So Mar Sover, Simon Nasun Lishanis Lachamissa, the Tanakama holds it may well change in appearance after he dies. So yes, you find a body that has a wart in a certain place, and you're gonna say that's him. And you're gonna say, I recognize that wart. But when he was alive, maybe that wart looked different. So therefore it's not the same person. Mar Sover, whereas Elozab and Mahavai would hold, Simon and Ein Lasun Lishanis Lachamissa, they don't generally change in appearance after the person died, and therefore, yes, we can identify him based on that. It depends what, maybe it depends what kind.
How long also.
Depends how long, yeah, yeah. There has to be a certain, there has to be a certain maximum amount of time. And the truth is nowadays when they have DNA testing and other things like that, there are poskim who allow that for identifying, for example, after September 11th, there were many people where all that was left of them are the few fragments here and there and all the ashes and everything over Manhattan. And there were poskim who said that based on what, on the forensics that they're doing, they can be matter their wives to marry. Yet another possibility. We could say both the Tanakama and Elozim and Mahavai agree that a Shuma does not usually change in appearance after the person died, yet they can both hold that Simonim are Drabbanon. The Machlokas would be, though, is a Shuma a higher level Simon, which is considered not just a regular simon, but a simon muvhak? Is it a unique simon? Is it a unique simon? Mar sava shuma simon muvhaku, or mar sava shuma shuma lav simon muvhaku, where Elozab and Mahavai would hold that it's a simon muvhak. So even if we say that regular simonim are derabanan, but a simon muvhak would be valid even on deraisa level, says Elozab and Mahavai. That's what we're saying. No. Not, in other words, we would say that of the three types of simonim, a simon muvhak would be valid daraisa. An ordinary simon would be valid only drabanan, but a simon muvhak would be valid daraisa. So Elozab and Mahavai would hold that, whereas the Tanakama would hold Fine, if it was a simon muvak, I'd agree with you. But a struma is not enough of a simon muvak. It's more of an average type simon rather than a simon that's unique to him. So you can have sort of different ways of different ways of learning the machlokas that don't require us to say that they're arguing whether simonim are daraisa or diraban. Okay. The Gemara continues, Omar Rava, im timtzalomah simonim lav daraisa. Look, Rava says I can give you a very simple logic that that simonim must be daraisa. If you're going to tell me that returning a lost object is not daraisa, it's only takana derabanan, heichim adudin aveda b'simonim, then b'chlal, how are we returning an aveda based on a lost object? After all, Miss Suffolk, why would the Chachamim get involved in the Suffolk over here and tell us to return something to somebody who it may not even be his? Mela, if it's Daraisa, okay, that's the way the Eidoshim decided. But the Chachamim are going to make a Takana only when they know there's going to be benefit from it. But here, isn't there the possibility you're going to end up returning something to somebody to whom it doesn't belong to, and therefore you're depriving the rightful owner of it? Why would the Chachamim make such a Takana? So there, doesn't that itself show that simonim must be daraisa, average simonim that is? And the Gemara answers no. No, you could say that the one who finds the aveda we're not even focusing on the somebody else that it potentially might belong to. The motzi himself appreciates the takonas chachamim that he should be made to return it once the other guy gives simonim, average simonim, because eventually he's going to lose something, and the same thing, he'll be able to get it back based on simonim. So in other words, it benefits, over time, it benefits everybody else. It's true, right now, you're losing out from it, and you might well want to say, I don't want the takonas chachamim, but the fact is, later on, you're going to end up benefiting from it, so therefore the chachamim have reason to make that takana and apply it across the board. Yeah, but the Gemara asks, Ella, nichalei l'bala veda, So, however, Rav Safra says to Rava, does that work? How can a person do himself a favor with money that's not with money or something that's not his? Why is it you're saying the one who found it benefits from this? Okay, but what the one who lost it, potentially somebody else may have lost it, not the one you're returning it to. He wouldn't appreciate that you're giving this to somebody else to whom it didn't belong in the first place. So still, how would the Chachamim make such a takana and make it work? Why wouldn't we say that the potential actual owner of the thing doesn't appreciate that you're returning it? So here, Reuben lost it and Shimon found it, and Levi comes and gives a simon for it, and we're saying we're giving it to Levi. Fine, Shimon, we can say, benefits from it, because he realizes in the future, if he loses something, he'll be able to get it back on simon. Reuven, Levi certainly appreciates it, because he's getting it. Why would Reuven appreciate it? How can we be doing a favor like that at Reuven's expense? Actually, the Shita Makovetzis points out, okay, listen, and if you don't return it based on simonim, then he's going to be miyayish for sure, because unless he has a simon muvak or edim, he's not going to be able to get it back. So there's many cases he wouldn't lose out anyway. And he says, because when you have something that has a simon, often it has a simon muvak, or often it's easy enough to find edim who recognize it by tvias ayin. So he actually is losing out if you end up that somebody comes with a simon she'enim muvak, with an average simon, and you give it to him. So he wouldn't have been miyayish from it, because he thinks I have a simon muvak on it, or I can find edim that will testify based on the simon muvak, and therefore you are actually causing him a loss. So Rav Safra says, how does that work? Rather, the reason is nichalei l'bal aveda l'may of simonin l'mishkalei. The reason is it's the one who lost the aveda himself appreciates the takanas chachamim that he can give simonim and get back this thing. Made yada the edim lesley. He knows he may not have edim that have it. Umeima omar. So he's going to think to himself, kulei alma lo yadi simonim muvhokim dida. Nobody else knows the simonim muvhokim of this object. Only I, who are the owner of it, I will be able to provide the simonim of hakim and take it. So he himself appreciates that takana. So it helps for him, instead of having to go and look for edim who will recognize it. Then it helps him out. Tosfos points out, we don't mean full simonim of hakim, because again, then on daraisa, then for sure those would be valid on a daraisa level. You don't need to resort to a tachanas hakim. What we mean is that, in other words, yeah, but a little better than average middle ones. In other words, everybody else might be able to say, we're going to learn tomorrow in the Gemara some examples where, for example, you have, let's say, one person mentions the length of it and another mentions the width. So one is a stronger simon than the other. I'm the one, because I own it, I can give a stronger simon than anybody else. It may not be a simon muvhak. It may not be something which is unique to this thing, but nevertheless, it's going to be a lot more unique than what anybody else can offer, and therefore it's good for me, the Baal HaAveda, to be able to get it back with simonim, and therefore that can be a basis why the Chachamim would make the stakana and tell the one who found it, even though on a daraisa level, you might be able to keep it, until the guy brings edim, or simonim that are completely muvhakim. Nevertheless, the Chachamim are telling him, go ahead and return it based on the average simonim that the guy is giving, because it benefits him, and therefore that's what you should be doing. Okay. So we'll continue tomorrow, Beis Hashem, and we'll deal with, well, then in that case, how does that work with shtaris? We learned at the end of the previous perek that you have to return, in certain cases, you return a lost shtar, and the loiva certainly doesn't appreciate the shtar being returned to the malva, or vice versa, the malva being returned to the loiva. So we see that not always is everybody benefiting from it. So how does that work? So we'll take up and continue with that point tomorrow, Beis Hashem. About in that case, if we say that simonim are derabanan, then in that case, why do you return in those cases?
Yeah, each one
knows
is a unique
thing. Everything has simonim of hakim, but not necessarily do you know. Yes, obviously, if you know the simonim of hakim of the shtar, for example, we learned before, neck of yeshba b'tzad ois pleini, this get has a hole in sippin's at a place, that would be a simon muvhak, and there's no question daraisa, that would be valid. But here we're talking about where you don't necessarily have such a distinctive simon. You know, let's say, for example, the names in the get. But after all, there could conceivably be other people out there who have the same names. So,
circumcised to give it back is a problem, like a get.
Well, that's what's driving the whole sugya over here. If we say simonim adirabanan, then you shouldn't return a get with simonim, with regular simonim. You would need either a simon muvhak or edim. Yeah, so that's driving the sugya over here. So yeah, we're going to continue and then continue at this point tomorrow. Yes.
Yeah.
So we're bringing metzia. Well, a get is an example of a metzia. If we say that simonim are daraisa, then it works even to return a get to the shliach. If we say they're only derabanan, then we're saying that not. No, well, here we're talking about where the shliach is the one who lost it. So here we're talking about, Rashi points out at the top of the Amud, we're talking about the shliach lost it and somebody else found it. So then the question is, are we returning it to the shliach or not? Or do we have to assume that it might be another get that happens to have the same names or whatever that was found, and it's not necessarily the same one?
What's the halacha?
So that's what we're going to deal with in the end tomorrow, Beis Hashem, what the halacha is as far as this.
Is it Doraisa? Is it Dorabanan?
We'll wait till tomorrow and we'll find out, Beis Hashem.
Okay.
Bye.